do welcome each of you this evening. We ask that you would please join us in our opening hymn.
Good evening. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters? Who brings forth chariot and horse, army and warrior? They lie down, they cannot rise. They are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild beasts will honor me, jackals and the ostriches. For I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, that they might declare my praise. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle this evening comes from the book of Philippians. If anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law a Pharisee, as to zeal a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law blameless. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss, because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from Christ that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies ahead, forgetting what lies behind, and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal, for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Would you go back and make sure that Julie's mic is on? It'll be one of those three or four on the right side. I think Ken already did. I don't know if he got it.
Once I heard a song.
Please stand for the gospel.
Thank you, Julia. The Holy Gospel is recorded this evening in the book of St. John, the 16th chapter. In that day you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now you have asked for nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be made full. I have said these things to you in figures of speech. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day you will ask in my name, And I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and have come into the world, and now I am leaving the world and going to the Father. Here ends the reading of our Holy Gospel.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. This is the last Wednesday service of our Lenten season 2019. We've been discussing and talking about prayer during this season. And I think it's very important for us to understand that as we began this series, we began in the Garden of Gethsemane with Jesus going to his heavenly Father the very eve before he was going to be crucified and the very night he was betrayed. And we discussed in that message his focus on his mission of his salvation, but also his focus upon his followers and upon you and me, and our being one with him and with his heavenly Father, as we also are one with each other. The very following Wednesday, we also talked about how God's will is accomplished and is often carried out through our prayers. As God worked through Adam and Eve, he also continues from the garden, so today he works to accomplish his will through us. We then talked about the following week hot spots in our life. And we painted the picture of three men in the Babylonian Empire. And from these three young Israelites who were taken into captivity, who witnessed to an entire Babylonian kingdom, we recall Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego as examples of people praying, believing in faith, not knowing how God would answer their prayers, yet believing and trusting in the will of God as they were carried towards that fiery furnace of the golden image. They realized that they were going to be a living sacrifice unto the Lord, and we were asked to model that, to trust in God and to go ahead with that decision to trust in him and his will, not knowing the answer to his prayer or our prayer, but knowing that it was our right and privilege to worship only the Lord our God. Then we turned to the following week with Daniel in the lion's den. And we saw there that as God had shown himself with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to be the one who would answer that prayer, that it was God who also witnessed through them to an entire nation called Babylon, a kingdom. And now with Daniel, he was thrown into the lion's den simply for worshiping and bowing to the true God. And it was in his request for divine deliverance that even the king himself was persuaded to be able to worship Daniel's God and to have the entire kingdom do so as well. We remember today, as we look at another text about Jesus and his words on prayer, namely that we would again be praying in the will of God and understanding what Jesus means by these words. In that day you will ask nothing of me, Jesus says. Truly I say to you, whatever you ask in the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, however, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be made full. Now, I want to give you and paint you a picture of the context this comes out of. Because in John 16, Jesus again really prepares his disciples for about what is going to happen in the days and following. These things, he says, I have spoken to you, that you may be kept from stumbling. And so it is out of love that our Lord and our Savior again reaches out to us to touch us and to guide us and to try to bolster us up for the journey that's ahead. Here are the things that he told them in this chapter. Those who oppose me will make you outcast. The promise of the Holy Spirit, I am going to him who sent me, the Father. But I tell you the truth, it is for your advantage that I go, so that the Helper, the Holy Spirit, will come. He is the Spirit of truth, and he will disclose all things to you. So Jesus is going, and that gave them sadness, but he said, it's best that I do go, so that I can send you the Holy Spirit. And he's going to tell you all things of me and of the Father. Then Jesus foretold them of his suffering, of his death, but also of his resurrection. And he says in that very verse, in verse 22, but I will see you again. I'm sure that this was disappointing to the disciples, but also was lined with some encouragement. On this day, all of this happened. Jesus says, you will ask nothing of me. It'll be clear because the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, has revealed this all to you. Soon all of this is going to be yours. And he began that next message with, whatever you ask in my Father's name, he'll give it to you. Wow, whatever? That's a lot that is included in that statement. You know, I was thinking as a younger boy when I used to hear about this verse, I said, what about a pony? Could I have a pony? And then I asked, well, what about a bike when the pony didn't arrive? But I've got to admit that I never asked for a baby sister. And he gave me two. But this is not about a frivolous thing that our Heavenly Father is saying to us, or that Jesus is telling us to pray in the name of Jesus and to ask whatever. Jesus is the one who poured out his lifeblood for us. And so if I'm going to go to my Heavenly Father and ask for anything in the name of Jesus, I am really going to want to make sure that it's being done with honor and respect of Jesus, and also within his will and desire to serve him and obey him. I'm going to want that. But I can ask him anything within that context. And I think that's been a helpful thing for me. I hope it is for you as you wonder how to apply these words of Jesus. As a Christian, as a Christ follower, our prayer should align with the will of God. If I'm going to ask my Abba Daddy, my Heavenly Father, for something, it should be within his will, especially when I pray it in the name of Jesus. In my prayers, I know and trust God's ability and power to do such. And that he will, and I believe and I trust that if it is his will. But it is also appropriate for me to ask anything in the name of Jesus, aligning with the words, thy will be done. In our prayer life, we are to trust that God can do all things, and that in all things his will is best. And often, when we do hear a no, or not yet, it is really best. As we look at and reflect upon our life, and through such stormy times and seasons of suffering, of sickness, the crushing of cancer, or the loss of a job, we start to think about, and we actually see that through such times, as we enter into prayer with God, that our faith is also strengthened. Our relationship is becoming stronger as we trust in him more and more with the big things in our life. And those give us an opportunity to be drawn closer. Through such times, God often strengthens and sharpens our eyes of faith. I also believe that often God does affirm our prayer petition, answering them even as we'd hoped, and even sometimes more so. And soon the urgency of our request for his deliverance, at least in my life, evaporates with the next problems, or the next joy in my life, or the next event in my life, and I simply go on and let it slide, somehow almost forgetting that God has delivered in giving me this answer to this prayer. Oh, I may respond with a thank you, Jesus, but then I go down and get back on the road of life. I've got things to do, you know, Dad. Wouldn't it be nice if I and if you would simply stop and say thank you, God? Thank you for celebrating and hearing this prayer and bringing your answer to my life. Thank you. Your divine deliverance did come, and it happened only because you stepped in. I wonder how often we miss the opportunity to be drawn closer into that relationship with God, our Heavenly Father, and to walk with Him hand in hand down the roadway of our life. In the next part of this evening's text, Jesus says, "You have not because you ask not." Even sadder is the plight of those who pass by the throne of God's grace, seeking His will to move on and to do the business that it's hand, seeking human solutions. And I want you to know that I'm praying right now this prayer for a variety of reasons. Asking God, because I don't have. Asking God for His help. Asking God for His direction. His deliverance, yes. I'm asking God for His help, His solutions, and His direction in the ministry of my life, in the ministry of this congregation, and I hope you will too. But let me tell you why. We have made some big decisions recently. And I believe as a church, we did pray. And we asked God for direction and His will to be done, and it was affirmative what that will was. I know and I trust that God is moving us during this time for the good of His church. And I know that there are still other decisions on the horizon, and that we must, all of us, join together in prayer for one another and for His church. My friends, we do this out of strength, not out of weakness. For greater is He who is in us than he who is in the world. We do this not as a last resort, but as a first resort, a starting point. We don't pray as some kind of spiritual Hail Mary. No, we pray out of obedience, faith, and trust that Jesus says, "Ask. Ask anything in my name." And then He reminds us, "You have not because you ask not." Jesus also tells us, as He commands us to pray, He does so for a reason, that our joy may be made full. That's a good thing. And I'm sure it's something that you and I all want to grasp and have possessed in our life. And we also understand that glory of our Heavenly Father as He moved us to pray and answer our prayers, because the Father Himself loves you because you believe in the name of Jesus. May the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, create in your hearts and minds the true faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please join me as we collect our offerings in the sweet hour of prayer, at which time we'll also be collecting our offering. Thank you.
Where God my Savior shows His face. gladly take my station there and wait for thee, sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, thy wings shall petition there to him whose truth and faithfulness engage the waiting soul to bless. And since he bids me seek his face, his word, and trust his grace, I'll cast on him my every care and wait for thee, sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, may I thy consolation share, till from Mount Pithia's law
Lord and Savior Jesus, during these 40 days of Lent, we give you thanks for the gift of prayer. And we thank you for your promise to boldly and confidently ask us to approach your throne of mercy and grace. We thank you for your hearing 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And you tell us to ask anything, and it will be done according to your will. Lord, in your mercy, Lord, help us to ask such things in your name, believing and trusting, knowing that according to your will, it will be accomplished. We ask, O Lord, your blessings upon each of the members of this congregation, and that you will bless and prepare this congregation to receive visitors during this coming week. And that during this time of Palm Sunday and Easter, that we will be able to celebrate new guests, new visitors, family. And as we receive them, may we also celebrate with them the wondrous good news of your resurrection. We pray tonight for those who you are preparing to come. Help us to be prepared to receive them. Lord, in your mercy. Lord Jesus, we give you thanks for this congregation and its ministry, and we ask your blessing upon its members. May you bless them personally in their lives, in their family life, in their health, but especially in their spiritual life. May you also bless our leadership of this congregation, and we ask, O Lord, that your blessing would be upon them. Anoint our staff and allow them also to serve in the joy of your salvation. We pray for our teachers as well as our students, and we pray for the families that come into this ministry and upon this campus. Now help us, O Lord, to be in ministry to, for, and with one another. Lord, in your mercy. And now, Lord Jesus, we pray that prayer which you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and bring you.
his peace.